All right. So, Emor, let me start you off with a, I don't know why the Aaronic blessing is up there. We'll get to that, don't worry. Let me start you off with a Jewish folk tale that I read this week. That maybe some of you have heard this one, maybe you've heard something similar. But let me read it through. A rabbi and a soap maker once went for a walk together. The soap maker said to the rabbi, "What good is Judaism after thousands of years of teaching about goodness, truth, and justice, and peace? After all the study of Torah and all the fine ideas of the prophets, look at all the trouble and misery in the world. If Judaism is so wonderful and true, why should it be so?" The rabbi said nothing. They continued walking until he noticed the child playing in the gutter. The child was filthy with soot and grime. "Look at that child," said the rabbi. "You say that soap makes people clean, but see the dirt on that youngster. What good is soap? With all the soap in the world, that child is still filthy. I wonder if soap is of any use at all." The soap maker protested and said, "But rabbi, soap can't do any good unless it's used." "Exactly," cried the rabbi. "So it is with Judaism. It isn't effective unless it is applied in daily life and used." Now, isn't that true? That is just so true. Judaism is not effective unless it's applied to our daily life and used. And we can take that word Judaism and replace it with the word Torah. Torah is only effective if we apply it to our daily life and use. Amen. And we can replace the word Torah with all of Scripture. All of Scripture is only good for us if it's applied to our daily life and used. And we can replace Scripture with the voice of God. The voice of God will only be good for us if we apply it every day in our daily life and then use it. We have to hear it and apply it. So that leads us to a question, the basic question for today in this message. Does God speak to us today? Does God still speak to us? Now, the theologian and writer A.W. Tozer said, "It is the nature of God to speak." That's just his nature. He did not create and then leave us alone. He speaks to us. And I thought about this because of this week's Torah portion. It starts off like many of the Torah portions, almost all of the Torah portions in Leviticus. In fact, all 10 portions in Leviticus start with Adonai speaking in some way. A lot of them start with Vayomer Adonai, then Adonai said. All throughout Leviticus, it's Adonai speaking. He speaks to Bnei Israel, the children of Israel. He speaks to Aaron. He speaks to Aaron's sons. He speaks to Kohanim. And he speaks to us today. Still, we need to hear and understand that Adonai still speaks. And we need to hear him in the way that he speaks. In the way that he speaks to us. In the way that he speaks to you. Because the way he speaks to you may not be the same way he speaks to you or to you or to you at home. Yeshua himself tells us, and we see it in Scripture over a dozen times between the Gospels and Revelation, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Not just physical ears, spiritual ears is what we need. Spiritual ears to hear his voice. The words were not meant just for the small population that was around Yeshua at that time. It was meant to teach us as well. We have to have those ears to hear. The words of the prophet Jeremiah were for more than just himself, more than just those around him, more than just those who would hear his prophecies at the time. They're for us. So Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 12, says, "When you call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you, you will seek me and find me. Then you will search for me with all, when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai, and I will return you from exile and gather you from the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai, and I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as captives in exile." The words at the beginning of the passage that so many of us know are not really just call upon Adonai, but also listen to Adonai. It's really kind of Shema, listen and then do. But the first step is to hear from him, to listen to him. And we need to hear the way he speaks at the time that he's speaking to us. Because he speaks in different ways at different times, even to each individual. One time he'll speak to you in one way, one time he'll speak to you in another way. So we have to be aware of all the different ways that he can speak to us. Look what happened to Elijah after he ran from Jezebel. He had just had this great victory over the priests of Baal. But because of something that Jezebel said, he became very fearful and started running. Adonai spoke to him through an angel and told him to eat, rest, and then get into a cave. And once in the cave, look what happened to him. 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 11. "Then he said, 'Come out and stand on the mount before Adonai.' Behold, Adonai was passing by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and shattering cliffs before Adonai. But Adonai was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But Adonai was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But Adonai was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice." As soon as Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle, went out, stood at the entrance of the cave. Then all of a sudden, a voice addressed him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Adonai was not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. Now I bet Elijah had thought, "Adonai, you are so mighty and strong, you're going to speak in mighty and strong ways through fire, through wind, through earthquakes. That's how you show yourself strong, isn't it, Adonai?" But no, that was not the way he was going to speak to him at that time. So here's a little rabbit trail, a little side path. When the world is shaking, and there are earthquakes and fires and winds that are up against you, that is the time to press in to hear the small, quiet voice of Adonai. Because maybe it is Adonai that's coming and all these things are preceding him. Maybe it's just Satan trying to distract you from the small, quiet voice that Adonai is going to use at that time to speak a special word just to you. We need to hear his voice. We need to hear his instructions. They're meant just for you. Adonai speaks personally just to you. Yeah, there are instructions that are for all of us. But he cares and loves so much about you, he wants to speak just to you. And look what Yeshua says in John about his voice. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, when a shepherd calls, you know, many times they come together for watering many different flocks. So when a shepherd calls, there's a lot of bleeping going on by the sheep. Different shepherds calling in different directions. A lot of distractions, a lot of noise. But when the sheep know the voice of the one that's supposed to be calling them, know the voice of the one they're supposed to be listening for, it cuts through all the noise. That's what we're told also in Matthew 17. Adonai himself tells us this. When Yeshua was transfigured on the mountaintop, when he said this about Yeshua to you, he says, while he was still speaking, Matthew 17:5, while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from out of the cloud saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. With all the bright lights that are going on, listen to him. Maybe there are a lot of voices going on. Listen to him, though, not only the voices. You know, we can yell to all those other voices, hey, shut up, I'm trying to hear. But I can tell you by experience that does not work. Because possibly it's just, like I said, Satan trying to distract us. And our yelling at him just doesn't work. Life just keeps going. We can't tell it, hey, slow down. Just doesn't work. So what do we do? We have to stop and we have to listen for his voice. We have to know how he speaks to us. So what I have for you today is six ways that Adonai speaks to us. They are not the only six ways, but here are six ways that Adonai speaks to us. So the first way, Adonai speaks through his written word. And we all know that the words of Scripture are from him and they are personally for each one of us. You can look at the front of your Scripture and it might say Holy Scriptures or Holy Bible, but look at it with spiritual eyes and what does it say? It says Jim's love letter. A love letter to Jim. A love letter to Casey. A love letter to Wendy. That's what it is. They're your instructions and they're your love letter directly to you. We're told in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy, we know this. 2 Timothy 3:14, starting there. You, however, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of. You know from whom you have learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to make you wise, leading to salvation through trusting in Messiah Yeshua. All Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, and for training in righteousness, so that the person belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. So what have you learned, and who did you learn it from? Well, I pray you didn't learn it just from me or any of the other people who stood up here or stood behind any other pulpit, stood behind any other beamer, stood in front on TV and talked. What you've learned from is Scripture. Hopefully, I'm giving you scripture to look and learn from. Not my words, His words. May you never learn from my word. May you always learn from His words. We hear His words through the praise and worship music, through our time on the Torah teaching. Yeah, through my teaching. Through Torah for Today, when we come and we discuss the Torah together. Through our encounter prayer time, when we come together. Anytime Scripture is spoken, you're learning from Adonai. And that's where we should be looking to learn from. And that's where we hear His voice. That's one of the ways we hear His voice, is through His Scripture. Now, the second way that we hear is He speaks audibly. I know, everyone's going, I never heard His voice. You know, it's not very many people who hear it, but we have seen it in both the Old and New Covenants. And maybe you know somebody who's heard His voice audibly. We all say, I've heard from the Lord. But most people, when they say, I've heard from the Lord, don't be fooled. They didn't hear a voice speaking into their ear. They heard Him through one of the other ways, maybe. But there are some who still hear His voice. We've seen it. You know, the Scriptures cover thousands of years, and yet for those who can say heard Adonai's audible voice, are very few. So it doesn't happen very often, but there are some. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, heard God's voice. Acts 9:3. As he was traveling, approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul said, I am Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. Now, verse 7 says that the men that were with him heard the voice, but saw nothing. That means the light that blinded Saul was not visible to everybody. And we don't know if they understood what they heard, because we aren't told that anyone else came to faith in Messiah Yeshua on this road to Damascus. So what we can say is Rav Shaul heard His voice in a very personal way. His life was changed when he heard His voice, and it'll change your life too if you ever hear from His voice directly. But it also means the words that he was speaking were meant directly for Rav Shaul, and apparently not for everybody. That was not their message to hear. They heard something, it says, but we don't know whether they heard the voice and understood what was being said. In the Old Covenant, we can look at another example of Hagar, the handmaiden and future and wife of Abraham. Thank you. Now, Hagar was running away from Sarah when she was pregnant, and she was told to return back. In Genesis 16:9, it says that the angel of the Lord spoke to her. But then we see, just a couple of verses later, in verse 13, it says this. So 16:13 of Genesis says, so she called Adonai, who was speaking to her, you are the God who sees me. For she said, would I have gone here indeed looking for him who looks after me? Hagar heard from Adonai directly. The Scripture calls him once an angel of the Lord. But then Hagar clarifies it and says it was the Lord. Since He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He was able to speak to people in Scripture. He's able to speak to people today. If that is His way, if that's His plan for a life, He can do it. Now, the next way that Adonai speaks is through other people. And you know, people approach us all the time. I've got a word from God. I got a word. Maybe he does. An example, Moses through Jethro. Exodus 18. And we're told about that time that Jethro came to Moses right after coming out of Egypt. And he sees that Moses is sitting as judge over all the people. And Jethro obviously saw that it was exhausting Moses and exhausting the people who were standing before him. So listen to what Jethro told Moses. Starting in verse Exodus 18:17, Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is no good. You will surely wear yourself out, as well as these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone by yourself." Jethro went and gave Moses a plan so that he wouldn't be worn out. And it seems that it was Jethro's idea. Came right from Jethro to Moses, it looks like, right there. But just a few verses later, look what it says, starting in verse 24. "If you do this thing as God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all these people will go to their places in Shalom." So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Moses listened to his father-in-law, but what did it say at the beginning in verse 24? "If you do this thing as God so commands you." It's quite clear where Moses got it and why Moses got it. He was to pass it on to where Jethro got it and why Jethro got it. He was to pass it on to Moses. Why Moses didn't get it directly, we don't know. Doesn't matter. It was a word for Moses. It was a word for Israel. And it was given through Jethro. It was the word that set up the judicial system for all Israel. And quite frankly, our judicial system is set up after that as well. So it really was Adonai leading the steps of Jethro and Moses in the instructions. Another example, David and the prophet Nathan. When David sinned regarding Bathsheba, it was Nathan that came to David to tell him of his sin. Now, we don't know why David had this big old blind spot about that sin. But he did. And it was the prophet who came to him. Prophets you normally think of as having words for whole nations. But the prophet came to David specifically with a word just for him. 2 Samuel 12:1. "Then Adonai sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said to him, 'There were two men in the city, one was rich, the other poor.'" He goes into the whole story to show David his sin. But it says right at the top, "And Adonai sent Nathan to David." It was a word for David. And even in David's sin, he could recognize that it was the Lord's words to him, because he was used to receiving the Lord's words to him in different ways at different times. And then, of course, we have the nations getting the word through the prophets. Throughout Scripture, Adonai used prophets to tell Israel the words of Adonai. Whether it was telling them the sin they were going to commit, the sin they did commit, the sin they should stop committing, and how to atone for it. Over and over again, the Lord used individuals to speak to groups of people and to nations. That's just another way that he spoke. Now, that being said, I'm sure that both Jethro and Nathan were trusted advisors. But that doesn't mean that their word is just taken right away. You still have to verify it. You still have to check it. You still take it, and then what I call research the scriptures. Make sure it's lined up. Because frankly, you can get a good word that sounds really, this is the situation I'm in. This is the word he's giving me. It sounds so right. But then you go to verify it against the word, and it doesn't line up. So what do? Shelf it for a while. Maybe Adonai will clarify it so that it lines up with the word. Maybe it really wasn't from Adonai. We've all gotten those kind of words. Got a word for you. You're going to be healed. I got a word for you. You're getting a new car. Thank you. I'll keep it in mind. And we'll see. Maybe it did happen. Maybe it didn't happen. But we have to verify it with Scripture every single time. But it was Nathan. He was already a prophet. David still had to know the Scripture. It's Jethro. He's already a priest of Midian. He was already one of Adonai's priests. No, we still verify it. I am sure that Moses went into his tent, prayed, and then found out, yes, this is the plan of Adonai. Fourth way that Adonai speaks to us, visions and dreams. This one I can say amen to. I've gotten a dream. Adonai speaks by visions and dreams many times. Dreams are just that. They're the pizza you had the night before. Many times, visions while you're awake are just your mind wandering. But there are going to be times that dreams and visions are right from Adonai for a very personal message, very important message. Now in Matthew, we can see an example of this with the Magi. King Herod sent the Magi out to find the promised Messiah at his birth. And look what it says in Matthew 2:12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country another way. Now we don't really know if all of the Magi had the same dream. If one of the Magi had a dream and the others, heard it, confirmed it, believed it, and then acted on it. We don't know. But what we do know is because of this dream, Messiah Yeshua was maintained safe and able to fulfill what he was supposed to do. So the Magi was told in a dream. And we say, well, that's easy because, well, believers, they have that connection. That's supposed to happen. What about Abimelech in the Old Covenant? Remember, Abraham and Sarah were traveling. Abraham told Sarah to tell everyone that he's his sister. She's his sister. He's the brother. So they wouldn't be killed because she was so beautiful that kings would kill to have her. Now, first of all, remember, this was the 90-year-old woman who was in the tent who laughed and said, I can't have any more children. So at 90 years old, she was still so beautiful that kings would kill to have her. That in itself is a miracle. Unless you're the 90-year-old husband who always thinks their wife is beautiful. I know I do, and she is. But this is what happened. This is what happens when they got into the land of the Negev and they settled between the Kadesh and Shur. King Abimelech was going to take Sarah as his wife, but the Lord came to King Abimelech. Genesis 20, verse 3 says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream at night and said to him, behold, you are as good as dead. because of the woman you have taken, since she is a married woman. Abimelech had a dream in which Adonai came to him. This non-believer had a dream that kept Israel safe, that kept salvation moving forward through Israel. And then, of course, and first of all, and last point on that is, if he's going to give a dream to a non-believer, how much more so to believers? So if you have a dream from Adonai, as long as it lines up with Scripture, absolutely, every time. And of course, all of Revelation is one whole big book of a vision given to John while a prisoner in Patmos. We're told in Revelation 1:9 by John this. He says, "I, John, the brother and fellow partaker with you in tribulation and kingdom and patience and endurance that are in Yeshua, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua. I was in the Ruach on the day of the Lord." I was in the Ruach is another way of saying he was in the spirit, or he was in a prophet's trance. He was seeing a vision while he was praying. Visions don't always come while we're praying, but while we're praying, we're lined up so that they're more likely to come. We're more likely to be in that right communication with him, so visions will come in easier ways. And that kind of leads me to the next point, number 5. Adonai speaks to your spirit, which connects to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's just that spirit-to-spirit communication that happens. Something we get that we don't, you know, we can't always just put it into words. We have a word from Adonai, and how did we get it? We're not quite sure. What does it really mean? Well, you know, we're still working on it. We get a hint from that Yeshua's words in John 14. In verse 26 of John 14, it says, "But the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you." The Ruach reminds us. Ever been in prayer or thinking about something, and all of a sudden the word pops at you? Something you've read before, something you've heard before, pops into your consciousness. That perfect word at that perfect time. Coincidence? I don't think so. It's the spirit-to-spirit communication that's happening. It's him and you. Why does it fit so perfectly? Because it came from him. And the sixth way that he speaks to us is he opens and closes doors. And again, some people think it's just coincidence that, you know, nothing's in control. You know, that's the way the world wants to think. Coincidences, things happen, eddies of time here and there. But he's in control. Some who believe Adonai is so busy, he's got so much on his plate, he's not going to do these little things for us. I believe he's so great that everything must bow down to him, and he's in control of it all. Nothing is beyond his abilities. Acts 16, I believe there are two examples in Acts 16 that show the Ruach's work in Shaul's life that kept the word moving forward. Now, the first is in Acts 16:1. The first three verses of Acts 16 says this. Now Shaul came to Derbe and Lystra. There was a disciple named Timothy, son of a woman who was a Jewish believer and a Greek father, who was well spoken of by the brothers of Lystra and Iconium. Shaul wanted this man to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him for the sake of the Jewish people in those places, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Are we really just to believe Timothy just happened to be there? Or was it the prompting of the Spirit that brought the two together? I believe it was the prompting. And just a couple of verses later, in verse 6, it says this. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Ruach HaKodesh to speak the words in Asia. So in the first case where he met Timothy, we're not told that it's by the hand of Adonai, but it seems to be orchestrated by him. Doors were open so they would meet each other. And in the second case, it says that the Ruach forbid him to go and speak the word of Asia. How? By closing doors so that he couldn't get there. It's the prompting and guiding, either with or without knowledge. In both cases, I know Shaul gave glory to Adonai. He gave credit to Adonai for meeting Timothy, who would go on to do great things in the kingdom. And I'm sure he gave Adonai the glory for his perfect timing in speaking in Asia. Now, there are those who would say they gave blame to Adonai for not allowing him to get into Asia sooner. But I know Adonai's timing is perfect. Therefore, he's to be given the glory that he wasn't able to get there sooner, that his timing is perfect. So these are the six ways that Adonai speaks. Not the only six ways, but definitely six ways that he does speak. He speaks in his written word. Got that right in your hand or on your phone or however it is that you read it. He speaks through that. Be open to him. The Spirit will prompt you that a certain verse will jump out and it'll have a special meaning for you. He speaks audibly. It may not happen all the time, but be open to it. If it's happened in the past, it can happen now. He speaks through other people. And as long as we verify it by the word, it is a very, it can happen that he's going to speak through other people. Don't just poo-poo it all. Look at it. Turn it over. Look around it. Does it line up? Is it for right now? Maybe it's for later. Put it on the shelf. See what Adonai has to do with it. Visions and dreams. Maybe it wasn't that pizza. Don't write it off right away. See what it says. See where it falls into your life. He speaks directly to your spirit. That's just being open. That means that when we're with him, especially in our prayer closet, he speaks to our spirit. That could mean that when we're praying, we're not the only one who should be speaking. Because I can tell you, through experience, that if I'm speaking, I have a hard time hearing. So what do? There has to be a two-way communication with God when we're praying. There are times that we're speaking. There are times we just sit back and listen. Settle in. Hear what he has to say. Those times can be frustrating because they could be quiet for long periods of time. But that's okay. His timing is perfect. He never fails. Give him that time. Relax. And he opens and closes doors. Again, Let's look at the scriptures and see, well, he closed that door. What scriptures say about that? Well, you know, maybe I really wasn't supposed to go through that door. Let's look for another one. Because I'm going to tell you now, he has a plan for your life. He's not closing every door. Just like he's not opening every door, because that would be of harm to you. So look for the doors to open. Look for the doors to close. It's not just happenstance. It's not just it's happening because. It's happening because he's in control. That's why it's happening. We just need to be open to it. To it? What's the it? All the different ways that he speaks to us. So, make yourself open. Know the different ways that he speaks and go for it. Hear him. Father, we thank you that you are the one who's in control of it all. We thank you that because of your love and mercy, we can hear you and know who you are and know your plan for us. I just ask that you open our hearts, minds, and our discernment to hear everything you have to say for us. And we just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.